always do this, but we do it sometimes on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. I believe that's how the Lord led. I was planning on preaching something this Sunday morning. Hey, look, Christian just wrote my notes for us. Thank you, Christian. So thankfully, he got my notes. So I left them upstairs, I guess. Psalms chapter number 1. We looked at it this morning. What I was going to preach tonight, I actually preached in Sunday school this morning. I didn't have it written all the way, and I did it because I know that's what the Lord wanted, and I was thinking the Lord would like us to do both Sunday morning and Sunday night in the Psalms chapter 1 thoughts. And I know this evening's message may sound a little bit like what we talked about last Sunday afternoon, but it's such an important part about our Christian lives, such an important part of being a blessed person. And so when we look at Psalm chapter number 1, we looked at the prohibitions of the blessed man, we looked at the power or peculiarities of a blessed man, and we also looked at the promises made to a blessed man. If you were not here this morning, we looked at point number 1 and point number 3, and tonight we're going to look at the power or the peculiarities, what a blessed man is supposed to do. This morning that we looked at specifically and on purpose what a blessed man should not do. And it's found in verse number 1. It says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." What we let into our ears and in through our ears and through our eyes is something that we should be very careful with. We should make sure that we're not listening and letting the ungodly influence. You say, well, who's the ungodly person? That's that drunkard, or that's an ungodly person is who chooses to live their lives without God giving God consideration. Choosing to make decisions and developing opinions without putting God inside their thinking. They've lived without God. They made decisions without God. And even a believer can act in an ungodly way. And we listen to that counsel, and then we see the progression or the degression that's happening here. They should not listen to the counsel of the ungodly. They should not stand in the way of the sinners. They shouldn't be around them while they're sinning and while they're missing the mark, while they're doing things that are opposed to what God desires for them to do, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And we looked at a little bit this morning about, you know, these are the things that God says I can't bless. We looked at the thought that the word blessed means happy, having the joy of the Lord, but also a place of blessedness where God can bless them. In verse number 2, we did not spend much time there, as we're going to look at tonight, but his delight, and you got that word from our theme, delighting in, having great pleasure, something that pleases you greatly, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So you have two things that are there. It says that they delight in the word of God, and they also meditate in the word of God. And tonight we're just going to focus on delighting in the word of God. And I think that will take us the majority of the time, if not all the time, maybe leaving the idea of meditation because it's an important point to another time, maybe next week or however the Lord leads on that. So if you want to be blessed in a place of blessedness, we need to make sure that there's some things that we're not doing. We see in verse number 1, verse number 2, some things that we are doing that are conditions. We use that word as the power or the things that makes it peculiar to a blessed person. And in verse number 3, you see some of the promises. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So it's someone who's planted by the word of God, someone who is bringing forth fruit, but doing it according to God's way and in God's time. His leaf also shall not wither, talking about their testimony not withering, and the outward response of making God look good. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And we focus on that a little bit today. Boy, that's what I want to do. I want to, whatever I'm doing, I want God to prosper. I don't want to just be spinning my wheels. I don't want to just be doing things to be active. You know, we could be super busy inside the church and not prosper. You can be super busy and be at every single church service, but not delight in the law of the Lord and still not be get the promises from verse number 3. If somebody can be there and just not believe. You know, you can sit there and be at church and be at church and be in church and even be busy as a termite in the church. But you know what? If you're not delighting in God and delighting in his word, the Bible says that you're not going to be a blessed person. That's one of the requirements. Verse number 4. The ungodly are not so. There's a stark difference, and it's something that God shows and brings out there. Look, the person that's ungodly is not a person who's going to be blessed. It's not going to be a person who he's going to prosper. He's going to be like that chaff that it talks about, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, and the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We talked about the difference of the way of the righteous and talked about the way of the ungodly this morning, that we're on one of two paths. We all began on that pathway to hell. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he takes us off that pathway to hell. Nothing else can get you off that pathway but the power of Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross. And that's what it talks about in verse number 4. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we have all that there, the great chapter of the Bible, so many things we can look at. But tonight I'd like to look at that phrase, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And just talk about a little bit tonight how to delight in God's word. How to delight in God's word. Once again, that word delight gives the idea of having great pleasure in, something that pleases them greatly. And that's where we come to the spot, because many times when we think about the word of God, we think about it being a portion. We think about it something that, yeah, we have to read. Yeah, we have to listen to it preach. Yes, we have to make that part of our life because God says that. But how in the world can I delight in something I don't understand? How in the world can I delight in something that is many times in our mind boring? How in the world can I delight in something that is a burden to some of us when it's, you know, I got to read my Bible again. And that's what their Bible's saying here is, look, if you truly want to be blessed and be in that spot of blessedness, you're going to have to understand there is a key that unlocks that door. There is something that teaches us and shows us that cannot be replaced with music, and that cannot be replaced with fellowship, and that cannot be replaced by just coming to church. It is delighting in God's word. And look what it even says here. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. It's not even just, you know, the dispensation of the church age and talking about the fruits of the Spirit. He's saying the law of God is something that the psalmist is saying, I find great pleasure in this law. So tonight we're going to look at it a little bit. And hopefully it can help you. I know it's helped me before in the past, helped me even again while I'm looking at. And we're just going to look at two different things about how to delight in God's word. And I asked God, and I said, God, how in the world can I explain this? Because I know to some people, it's just going to tune it right out and say, well, how in the world am I supposed to delight in the Bible? I don't even understand it. I've heard that before from people. I heard people say, I struggle to read the Bible. I struggle to get up in the morning and spend time. I can spend hours watching TV, but to spend 5 or 10 minutes in the Word of God seems like I never have time for it. I make time for everything else. And so tonight, I guess I want to give some thoughts about, how to delight in God's Word, and hopefully it will help you. The first thing I want you to think about is a right perspective. You got to have the right perspective on God's Word. Now, if you listen to people that are ungodly and people that counsel the ungodly, that standeth in the way to sinners and that sitteth in the seat of the scornful, they will come on the outside and they'll look at that book and they'll say things like, that book's written by man. You can try to tell them, okay, it was inspired of God. God wrote the book using men as a human instrument. That book's written by man. That book is nothing but laws. It's trying to take away your fun. That book, and they will scorn that book over and over and over. But the key is, God says, you have to learn how to delight in it if you want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. I want my ways to prosper. But you're going to listen to people out there that says, why do you care about a book that was written hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago? And God says, not only do I want you to read it, not only do I want you to obey it, not only do I want you to memorize it, not only do I want you to meditate in it, he says, I want you to find pleasure in it. But many Christians today do not find pleasure or great pleasure in the Word of God. And that's a key, I think, that can unlock this life of blessedness and unlock this life of being happy and joyful. If we'll learn that, and if many of us will be honest, there's been many times in my life where I've looked at the Word of God and I know it's something I'm supposed to be a part of, and I know that I'm reading it, but how do I delight in it? And the first thing that I always got to bring back to my perspective, I got to have the right perspective. Why am I reading that Bible? Why am I in that Bible? What is the Word of God going to do for me? What is the Word? And if we have the right perspective, God's commandments won't become grievous to us. Think about what it says in 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. You know, you're thinking, how in the world can you say the love of God is keeping his commandments. I don't put together the equation that's there. Commandments and love. Most people think of love as being something. Hey, I love you. You can go ahead and do what you want. Hey, I love you. And so, whether you listen to me or not, I'm going to love you. That's how most people put the equation. That's what the equation, the counsel of the ungodly would say. If God loved you, he didn't really care what you did. He's going to keep on loving you. No matter what you do, he's going to be pleased with you. And that's what they'll try to. But the Bible says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And the next phrase in 1 John 5:3, and his commandments are not grievous. And his commandments are not grievous. I think one of the things we must learn if we're going to ever find true delight, find true pleasure, and find true happiness inside the Word of God and the memorizing the Word of God and the meditating the Word of God, we're going to have the right perspective that book is not just a book full of commandments to take my fun away. That book is not a book full of commandments that is supposed to see how I'm going to figure out how I'm supposed to live and how I'm not supposed to live. But that book instead is something that will teach me, and that book is something that will instruct me, and that book will show me the greatest way to live, that will unlock the secrets of letting God bless me and God use me and being, like it says at the end of verse number 3, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I have to have the right perspective. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of thoughts of the intents of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm saying that we should look deep inside and say, do I really truly have a delight in reading God's word, or do I read it because I know I need it to live by? I know it's something that he tells me to do, and because he tells me to do it, I'm going to be in it, and because he tells me to memorize it, I'm going to memorize it. And that's where most of us good Christians are at. It's, you know what? It's something that I know, but let the word of God discern your thoughts and your intents tonight. Let the Word of God look deep inside and say, do I really get good pleasure and great pleasure in reading the Word of God and understanding the Word of God? And it, like David could say that he loved the statutes, that he loved the laws, like we looked at last week on Psalms 119. We went through those 15 or 20 verses that kept on saying, you know, I love your commandments. I love my sons. I really, truly do. I never had them tell me, Dad, I love that rule you gave me. Dad, I love that bedtime you gave me. Dad, I love the fact that you didn't let me have a cell phone until this age. And Dad, I love the fact you didn't let me watch this. Or I love the fact you didn't let me do this. I love the fact you didn't let me. You know, they've never come to me, and I know they're appreciative of the wall or the fence we put around them and trying to help protect them and prepare them for their future manhood. But they're not usually saying, hey, I'm glad, Dad, that you gave me these laws, but you know what? Someday they would. Someday to look back and say, you know what? I'm thankful that my dad didn't let me look at these things because I know it could have messed my mind up. I'm thankful my dad didn't let me hang around with these friends because I know what those friends did to other people. I'm thankful that my dad didn't do this or my mom didn't allow me to do this. And in the end, they might say, this is something I'm going to embrace. This is something that I'm going to love because I'm going to teach this now to my children because I see the benefits and I see the how it progresses and how it's made me into a man or that loves the Lord and wants to do the things God wants me to do. And what children need to learn and understand is to embrace, if God has given you godly parents, to embrace those godly parents and say, if my godly parent says that I'm not supposed to do this, they have what's best for me and have what's my best interest at heart. And I'm thankful for that. And when we come across the commandments of the God, when we come across the laws that God has given us, such as loving your wife as Christ loved the church, such as submitting to your husband, such as children not only obeying but honoring your parents, when we come to these things and we see about forgiving one another and seeing about not murmurings and not things done with disputings and things that are not done for vainglory, and we see those scriptures that are hard to swallow and those things that are hard to handle and hard and tough to say, how in the world can I do that? Do we embrace them and say, I love the law of God because I know he knows what's best. He sees the end from the beginning, and I delight in the fact that God tells me I'm supposed to dress modestly and that I'm supposed to not watch certain things and I'm not supposed to listen to certain things. And when I'm not supposed to hang out with the ungodly, it's not something I'm like, man, I wish I could do this. Because don't we see that in kids sometimes and teenagers? Man, I wish my parents would let me just have that or do that. And so many times as a Christian, we get to that spot and say, man, I just wish God's word was different. I guess wish God didn't tell me I had to forgive. I guess wish that God didn't tell me that I had to tell somebody about Jesus. It makes me feel guilty. I guess wish God didn't tell me I had to be faithful, and that God didn't tell me I had to. See, that's the difference here. He's not saying, hey, you need to give because he needs your money. He's not doing that. He's not telling the kids, your parents are not telling you to take the trash out because they can't do it. They can do it, but they're trying to teach you certain things to help build some character, to teach you some work ethic, so that way someday down the road, you won't expect everybody to do everything for you. It's the law of the Lord, and he's saying, not only do I delight in the promises of God, and it's a proper perspective, the promises of God are something that encourages you, the promises of God are something that gets you ready to shout, the promises of God is something that helps you through the day, but it's the commandments of God that teaches you how to live and how you're supposed to live and how you're supposed to learn and how you learn of God and who he is. Many times we cannot reduce Christianity to a matter of demands and resolutions and willpower. It's got to be a matter of what we love. It's got to come to the spot, I delight in the fact that God asked me to do this and that God asked me to put him first. I delight in the fact that God tells me I'm supposed to make him a priority, because when I make him a priority, I put myself in that spot of blessedness, and I put myself in a spot where he can truly work. It's what tastes good. I don't know about you, I began thinking in one of the messages this year is, what type of things do you delight in? I began thinking of some of the things I delight in. Besides just spiritual things, obviously, I delight in hearing a good sermon. I delight in the conviction of God. When God speaks to my heart, it thrills my soul. Some of us will look at it and say, man, I wish he would just shut up. I wish that he wouldn't tell me that or remind me of that. I guess wish he would leave me alone. But it thrills my soul, especially when I'm willing to respond the right way. I love hearing the music when God speaks to my heart through music. But there are things I enjoy. I began thinking about something that I delight in. I delight in food. I delight in eating good things. I delight in eating certain things. There are certain things I do not delight in, and most of you know some of those things. I don't really like too many vegetables. I don't like green vegetables, especially. You can have corn, and you can have more corn, and I'd be happy. There are some that I can deal with, and when it comes to green beans, and you know, a salad really tastes great as long as it has enough ranch dressing on it. Amen there. But you know, there are certain things I delight in. There's certain things that I really enjoy eating. Certain things that brings great pleasure and pleases me greatly when I eat. And I think about it. There are certain things I get excited about eating. Now, I don't run around the house and yell and things like that, but I can find good pleasure and great pleasure in certain things that my wife cooks. My wife, who's visiting her family for a few days, and she doesn't get to do that often. I'm thankful the opportunity came up. Her and Andrew, or that's where she's at. She's not one of those sick people. She's actually at church right now. And she even listened to my message this morning already, and she went to church already, and she said, she gave me her comments about my message this morning. I'm thankful for her, and she makes certain things I like, and she makes chicken parmesan that's really good. That's one of my favorites. She makes this thing called the ultimate chicken tenders, and that's one of my favorite things that she makes. And when she asked me what I want her to make, I'll tell her a few of the things, and I delight in it. You know what the psalmist says in 119:103? He says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know, he's saying there that he picked maybe one of his favorite things, or at least one of the things that would be a luxury back then, or something that would be considered a delicacy, or something that would be something that everybody would desire. Today, it might be a Reese cup, but he's saying back there it was honey. And he said that thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. He is saying that God's word is sweeter to him than something that's sweet to eat. So, and I know we're going around this a little bit to try to help you understand what it means to delight in his word, because I think most of us would say, of course I love the Bible. Of course I delight in God's word. But is it something that we get pleasure out of? You say, Pastor, you're saying that I'm supposed to take the rules that are found in the Bible and embrace them? And that's what David said. And that's because David understood and David saw that when there are certain things in his life that he needed to work on, he could read those laws and those statutes, and he found great pleasure in getting corrected, and great pleasure in being more like his Savior, more like God. And so I want you to understand, someone might say, how can I delight in God's word? How can I make it something as sweet? I get it, Pastor. I see it. I understand it. But that is a foreign idea of how to delight in this law. And to be completely honest and completely transparent, you know, the only thing I can tell you is to do is pray. When I have something difficult to do, I ask God how to do it. You know, God is able to control our desires, our likes and dislikes, our wants and our whatnots. God has the ability. You think about it. It says in Matthew 5, 6, you get that word blessed again. It says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Bible even says, as our theme verse for this year, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So all simply put is, have we ever prayed and said, God, can you help me delight in your law? Can you help me delight in your word? I know it might seem simple. It might seem like it's too simple, but isn't that what he says? Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you desires of heart. What greater thing could we do this year than to say, God, I really don't hunger and thirst after righteousness like you say. God, I'm trying to stay in your word, but I don't really delight in it. But I want to start delighting in it. God, give me those desires. Remember, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thy heart. Don't you think that he would want you to delight in his word? I mean, as it simply put, as I was reading, as I was going through Psalms chapter number 1, and I come to that verse, and it convicts my heart, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law does he meditate day and night. And I'm saying, God, I want to delight in it. I need to delight in it. There's certain things in that I truly do delight in. There's certain things in it that I love. We all know people like that, right? We all know the people that like to pound home certain points of the Bible. You know, that we all know those husbands that say, hey, your wife, you're supposed to submit to me. And we know that sometimes there's ladies, hey, you're supposed to love me. You know, there's certain things that people take out of the Bible and they focus on that one phrase, ignoring everything else in the Word of God, and they find delight in one thing that matches what they delight in. That's not what he's saying here. It's the law of the Lord. It's God's word. It's the whole thing. And would it be wrong for us to say, God, I see it there. It's something I want to do this year in this theme. Help me to delight in your law more. Help me to get a hunger and a thirst for your word. So blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because the Bible says when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, it says, for they shall be filled. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thy heart. If you said, hey, from the basis of that verse, and basis of verses 1, 2, and Matthew chapter 5 and 6, that I want to have a great delight in your word, Lord, help give me that desire, do you think he would say no? Now, I know that it's going to mean that you're going to have to put forth some work and put forth some effort, and you're going to have to get into the word, and you're going to have to learn what the word means and learn what the word teaches and have a desire to apply those things to your heart and your life, because God's not going to reveal something to you for you just to say, ah, forget it, I'm not going to do that. He's going to do that over and over and over. He's going to wait till you do that one thing. But if you want to delight in his word, then I think it simply means we need to ask God to give us a new taste bud. That God give us new desires. Desire for his word. It says in Psalms 119:18, this is a verse that's on my prayer list, not on every prayer list, but on one of them. It says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. Psalms 119:18, you might want to write it down so you can put that there, because when you ask God to delight, allow you to delight in his word, you know what you're going to have to do is you're going to have your eyes open. Because somehow David's eyes are open to the point that he actually liked the commandments of God. He embraced the commandments of God. It was something that he didn't just go through them so he could get to the promises. He had a proper perspective. He saw this and he understood this and he said, you know, this is not about me. This is about God's word. And he says, I can delight in his word. And Lord, I don't always see it. But if we would go to God and say, God, please give me a delight in your word. Give me the desire to be filled with hunger and thirst after righteousness. God, open thou mine eyes. Psalm 119:18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. When's the last time you got in the Bible and God revealed something wondrous to you? It can happen every day. It really can. And I know not all of us have as much time. You say, preacher, you're a pastor. You have all the time in the world to read the Bible. That's good for you. I work a job and I don't have, I understand that my ministry, many of you work 40, 50, 60 hours and then you do ministry, and I'm thankful for that. I really am. But delighting in God and his word is something that God will give you the time and energy and ability to do it when we have the right priorities. David prays, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. He prayed this because to have spiritual eyes to see glory, to be able to have holy taste buds on the tongue of your heart, is a gift that comes from God. I don't think anyone naturally hungers for and delights in God and his wisdom until God reveals it unto him. Now, don't get me wrong, when a person first gets saved, they want to learn more about the Bible because God has revealed to them their need and put the Holy Spirit in them. And many times after you hear preaching and teaching a revival service or hear a message like this on delighting in the Word of God, those taste buds begin to get savory and they begin to want to desire more. But in all reality, we need to pray daily, if not every time we open up the Word and say, God, reveal unto me the wondrous things out of thy law. And I'm not saying every single time you open up the Word of God, you're going to find something brand new. But I am telling you that as you hunger and thirst for righteousness, God will show you things out of this Scripture that you never knew were there. You mean you're rewriting the Scriptures? No. We're not rewriting the Scriptures. We're letting God reveal his Scriptures unto us. There is so much wondrous things out of law that David had learned and David saw, that where he could say, hey, I delight in your law. I delight in the commandments. It was your statutes that kept me right. It was your law that became so sweet to my taste that it tastes better than the sweetest thing in all the world. I remember a number of years ago, I preached a sermon. It was a two-part sermon. I think it was back in 2009, and that was a long time ago. And when you look at, I have this new cool computer thing that you can type in the things, and they can show you when you date it, when the last thing you time you touched it or updated it. And it was why I love the Bible. And I remember going back and looking at that and thinking about all the different things I love about the Bible. And I asked God to help me show me why I delighted in the Bible. I wanted to express to the group and express to the people why we can delight in his word. It's that proper perspective we're talking about. Having a right perspective. That God's words, God's commandments, they're not grievous. It's the equation of the love of God equals his commandments are not grievous, because the love of God means he gives us commandments because he knows if we're left to ourselves, we're going to have problems. It's sort of like back in the nursery, there's got to be some rules. Now, back in the nursery, you know, the kids can't be running the asylum back there. You know, there's rules back there. There's rules. You got to pick up your toys. You can't just throw food on the ground. You know, there's purposes for that. You got to use the bathroom in the bathroom. You know, there's different things that happen in the nursery for the reason and purpose, because there's guidelines. It's because we love them, because there's certain things. And there's the equation there that he puts, and he says that the love of God, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's not just that we're keeping them because he's God, and we should, and yes, that's one of the requirements, and we want to be good Christians, and we want to follow the requirement, but to be a blessed person, to be in that place of blessedness, it's not just about the things we don't do, but it's the things that we do do. We delight in his word. So we're going to finish with looking at a couple of the reasons why I love the Bible. And I'm not sure if I preached it again since 2019 or not. I know we one time went through Kids Crusade, we made a big deal about the Bible. And in that Sunday school lesson the follow, I talked about a few of these. The reason why I love the Bible is, number one, because of who wrote it. You think about it, God wrote it. And we think about the things that are more special to us than others. When I look at my emails in the morning, lots of times I have a ton of emails. There's certain ones that I read. There's other ones I just click and delete because of who wrote it. I don't really care about it. But there are certain ones that, if there were, especially if it was an individual, that I take time to read and read on purpose because who wrote it. The Bible is special to us because of God wrote it, because it's written by someone who loves us. It's written by someone who wants what's best for us. It's written by someone who is all-knowing and can help us. And simply put, if we had the right perspective, if we really truly wanted the light in God's word, we got to go back to remembering, hey, God wrote this book. I can delight in this book because of who wrote it, because he loves me and he wants what's best for me. And what he writes to me, it's going to be helpful. You get lots of suggestions as a pastor. People give you lots of suggestions, and some of them are helpful and some are not helpful. Some are ways to really help grow the church. Some are done from a perspective of how it's going to affect one individual or two individuals. And you know what? Because of who wrote the Bible, we can delight in it. The second thing is another reason why we love the Bible is because it is truth. It's truth. You know, there's no lies in it. I'm not a big fan of people telling me lies. I'm not a big fan of listening to someone on television forcing some type of falseness and lies to you. And it seems like the liberal media of today, you look at it and you read it and it says, I wonder if that's true. I wonder if that really happened. Somebody comes up to me and tells me, oh, did you hear about this? And first thing comes to my mind is, I wonder if that really happened. And we should go look it up and make sure. You can't trust lots of times what individuals say. I ask the people where the source came from, and many times that will rule out whether or not I really believe it or not, because there's no truth to it. We can delight in this because there's no error in it. It is truth. You know, if we have the right perspective and we're holding the Bible and the Word of God as who wrote it, and that person loves us, that person wants what's best for us, and he can help us with the things that are written, but it is truth. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. He says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil, because truth is precious. The word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. It's truth. And if we can delight in it because it's truth. Another reason, and I'm not going to go through all, we had 10 different things. We went through two different sermons on a whole Sunday that back in whatever year it was. I think it was 2009. Because it helped me. I delight in something that helps me. And underneath that, it's because it's how I got saved. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God that taught me that God created the heaven and earth. It's the word of God that taught me that sin entered into the world. It's the word of God that showed me that I'm a sinner. It's the word of God that showed me that there's a penalty of sin. It's the word of God that taught me that Christ died to save me. I can delight in his word because it is how I got saved, but it's the thing that has changed my life ever since. If I'm willing to delight in his word, you know what happens? He begins to make a change in my heart. And it comes to the point that if I delight myself in the Lord, he's going to give me the desires of my heart because he changes my desires. A couple other ones. I can delight in it because it gives me hope. I can delight in it because it gives me a reason to live. I have a purpose in life that's greater than myself because the Bible tells me it. I can delight in it because it tells me how not to sin. You know, it tells me how I can have victory. I like that. I can delight in it because it gives me light. It gives me direction. And I can delight in it because it's how I hear from God. You know, I would never give up the things that God has showed me in his word. And I'm not going to tell you there's some type of magical routine, because there's not. And I'm not going to even look at this part and I think about that simple phrase, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And I went to God and said, God, how in the world can I explain that to a group of people who naturally do not get that delight, who do not naturally have that desire to delight in your law? Nobody really likes the rule book. I remember when I went to Pensacola Christian College and they gave you this big rule book, there was not very many people who actually took the rule book and said, man, that's a good one, I'm glad it's there. No. I remember a grown man, 19 or 20 years old, coming to Pensacola from a different college, actually crying after he read the rule book because of all the rules they had. They said, I did not realize, and he stayed for 1 year, but he cried tears because he did not like the rules that were there. There was a lot back then, and there's still a lot today, and there's reasons and purposes for that, and he didn't understand that. And I remember hearing and seeing that, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? And I'm thinking here in this, you know what? How do we look at God's word? How do we delight in it? No, simply put, I think the best thing we can do is get a right perspective of it and ask God, give me that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Give me an ability to delight in your law. Because you're saying it's able to do it. You're saying that person is blessed. It's not just about all the negatives, because we have a long list of things. Don't do this and don't do that and don't do this and don't do that. But that doesn't unlock the key of a blessed life. It's got to come to the point where we begin to delight, that God changes our taste buds. The things that we find pleasure in changes from those things that are secular and those things that are worldly and those things that really don't matter, and begin to be things that really are spiritual, and those things that we have a desire to get into His word. And we met with God today, and we can't wait to get back there tomorrow, and we're going to meet with Him again. And it's not good enough just to read our Bible once and be done with it. We take the word of God with us, and we're so excited because we had that half hour, that 45 minutes, or that hour alone with the Lord, and we start getting so excited about it, we want to stay longer, and we get up earlier just to stay a little bit longer, because we enjoy it. It's something we delight in. It's something that we desire to be a part of. And I'm not going to say it happens overly and naturally, that you say, okay, God, give me a delight, that you're going to walk away saying, okay, I got this great delight in God's word. It's not going to. Your flesh is going to fight that. The devil is going to fight that. But it's something that the Bible says we can delight in the law of the Lord. And it's something that is blessed. And I've read Psalms chapter 1 over and over in my life. I probably preached on it multiple times since I've been the pastor here. And I know back with the teenagers, we did a whole series about Psalms chapter number 1. But God spoke on me this week as, is my delight in the law of the Lord. Because I want to live a blessed life. I want to have that life that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I need to ask God for that. I need to say, God, help me to delight in your law more. Help me to delight in your word more. Help it not to just be something that is a chore or something I do because I know I have to, but give me a delight in doing it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Give me that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. Do you delight in his word? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.